Once again, my thanks to the guys in Rockin' Horse for coming down and being part of today's program live in studio. Hey, as I promised, I've got another special guest, and that is Earl Slick, guitar player for many years of the David Bowie Band. And I'm going to talk to Earl about the Celebrating David Bowie tour that is hitting America this month and coming February 23rd to Chicago at the Vic Theater. Let's see if we've got him on the phone. Hello, Earl, are you there?
Tom, hey, man.
How's it going?
Good.
Last time we spoke was at Rick's American Cafe here in Chicago when you were doing the Silver Condor tour.
That's 100 years ago.
Exactly. So it's good to catch up with you. Well, we're here to talk about this new unique tour celebrating David Bowie, which has obviously already played Europe and is now coming to America here at the Chicago Vic Theater on February 23rd. Tell me about the structuring of this live show. Is it similar to the Experience Hendrix project or the Zappa Play Zappa tour?
Basically, what we have is a number of original Bowie band members, right? And then we do have people who were influenced by David as well, yes. People who just loved David. So we've got myself and Michael Garson, who are the two old-timers. Mikey started at Ziggy. And I started around Diamond Dogs period with the David Live record. So we go back to 72 and 74, respectively, when we started. So we're the two old-timers. We've got Carmine Rojas, who was in and out of the band for years playing bass. We've got Jerry Leonard, who came in around 2000 or so and just started doing shows and records with us then. And then we've got Bernard Fowler, Rolling Stones, backup singer, who I work with all the time.
Okay.
And we had done a tour a few years back, 2 years ago, in England and Japan. And, you know, there's a number of people that are all somehow connected. There's not a lot of us. It's been cut down from the show. We did some shows about a year ago, but this is cut down a lot more to the core. So... and it pretty much covers the gamut from the beginning to the end.
Well, let's take it back to that first album you did with David Bowie, title track, Diamond Dogs. More with Earl Slick on the other side.
Silicone hump and your tendons stump.
You're listening to Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. My guest on this portion of the program, guitarist Earl Slick, who spent many, many years with David Bowie. Earl is one of the primary musicians on the Celebrating David Bowie tour, which comes to Chicago's Vic Theater on the 23rd of this month. Earl.
Are you guys including any of the Tin Machine music in the show, in the repertoire?
No, the reason that the Tin Machine isn't included basically is because that was actually a band unto itself as opposed to David Bowie records, you know what I mean?
How long is the overall show, and are you doing two sets with an intermission or straight through?
No, we go straight through. I don't think there's any intermission that I've been told about. No, I would think we should be in the area of about 2 hours, including encores, that area, you know, just enough so that, you know, everybody gets what they need. We get what we need, and everybody goes home happy.
All right. What's the public reaction like to the overseas shows? Were the audiences responsive in the way that you guys had hoped they would be?
Yes. The first taste I saw of it was 2 years ago when David was still alive, and myself and Bernard Fowler had done Station to Station Live tour overseas, and the response was great. Response last year was great, and response they just had in January, which I was not involved with because I couldn't make it. I had some commitments. Was also great. So the reason behind that too is that because they're at least getting people that had been involved with David for real, especially, you know, going back many years. So they are familiar with us, and without David around, it's as close as they can get. And, you know, we give them everything that they got when David was here, as from our point of view.
Mm-hmm. Is Carlos Alomar doing any of the shows with you?
No, Carlos is not doing any of these.
Okay.
Basically, we're sticking with the last batch of guitar players. It's just really me and Jerry who spent the last years with David.
Okay. What are the visuals like? Are you doing any kind of visual projections, any David pictures, any David videos as part of this?
No, I mean, there'll be just, you know, normal lights and things. But, you know, to get into a production like that would cost so much money that it would make the tickets cost prohibitive, you know. And we want to make sure that people can afford to come and see the show. And when you get into production, you know, it gets a little expensive, and then that gets passed along to them, and we don't want to, you know, have to gouge them out. You know, we want them to be able to afford to come see this.
Right. Has there been any talk of the whole hologram thing that we're hearing with Ronnie James Dio and Michael Jackson and Prince? Was there any discussion of doing a David hologram at all?
No.
Okay.
No. I hadn't even thought about it, you know. I mean, to me, the idea that we've got people here, singers, a number of them that love David and do a great job, that to bring that into me for David, I'm not criticizing anybody. Art is art, and it's all subjective. And to me, though, to include holograms and things like that, to me, almost starts to feel like a funeral. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And that's no disrespect to anybody else that's doing that sort of thing. It's just the way we feel. So
let's take it back to the David Live album, his first live recording, with You on Guitar, Moon Age Daydream. More with my guest Earl Slick when Midwest Beat continues.
Set your heart.
Age Daydream off the David Live album, Bowie's first live concert recording. Earl Slick, my guest on today's program, is the guy playing guitar. He's also going to be here for the Celebrating David Bowie tour, which hits Chicago's Vic Theater on February 23rd. Earl.
You mentioned Bernard Fowler, and of course he has worked with some huge names and done so many sessions and albums and tours, but he's primarily known as a backup singer, other than with his solo project. What's it been like for him to step up to the front and center and into David's shoes? Those are big shoes to fill. Was there a lot of trepidation in the beginning for him?
You know, it was funny. When we put the station tour together 2 years ago, unbeknownst to me, it was really funny, and I didn't find this out for a while, because I met and worked with Bernard for the first time 5 years ago at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Once a year, the Hall of Fame does sort of a tribute, recognizing artists that are in the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and you don't actually have to be dead, you know what I mean?
Right.
To be celebrated. And I was invited to play on the Stones one, and I'd always been a fan of Bernard, and I got to meet him. And of all things, they paired us up to open the show up. And as soon as we got on stage, we knew it. And ever since then, we've been doing as much work as we can. And we're going to continue to work together beyond this.
Okay.
You know, we have plans for the future, you know, in between Stones things and whatever, where we are a great team up front. The one thing that was very funny, because with if you take Stones music, which is, you know, a lot of it blues-based, and you take David's music, especially the lyrics, that's where once you start digging into the lyrics, you know, you got to really do your homework, mm-hmm. because they don't, you can't guess what the next lyric's going to be like you can in a blues song. So Bernard did his homework, and he got it down to the T, you know. Right. But he was not nervous about doing it at all. I mean, as a front man, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I've worked with a lot of people, and I got to tell you what, everybody I work with, the two best front men I've ever worked with on a stage has been David and Bernard Fowler.
All right. Now, there was a lot of guests on the European tour, and I understand there's some guests on this one. I've heard Corey Glover from Living Color is supposed to be there, and I've heard Sass Jordan is supposed to be there. Are they on all the dates, and are there other guests that will be rotating?
No, no. What's going to happen is it's going to be city by city, and we're still working on it. Yeah, Corey's going to be on the first few dates. I know there are some other names involved here. That are really cool. They're waiting on confirmation on a few.
Okay.
I've got one I'm waiting on, so we don't really want to say anything until they're confirmed, but we do have, you know what, we're like in the middle of rehearsal, so my brain is everywhere right now, but we got some great singers that have already confirmed.
Okay.
Including Corey, yeah.
Speaking of rehearsals, as far as the repertoire, you mentioned it's covering the gamut of his music. Are you focusing on one particular era a little heavier than others?
Nope.
Okay.
So far, well, we've got a very long list of songs that Mike Garson put together with me, and we've picked what's going to be the primary ones, and then in certain cities, you know, we may switch a few songs around here and there. But we're going back everything from Space Oddity all the way up to the last album.
Black Star.
So we're covering, obviously we can't cover all the songs, but it's, yeah, we're covering a good, you know, they're going to get a taste of just about every era.
Yeah.
favorite David Bowie songs of all time, Rebel Rebel. I'm Lounges, you're listening to Midwest Beat, taking it back to the Diamond Dogs album with my guest Earl Slick, who played guitar on that album. In fact, it was his first recording session with David Bowie. Earl Slick is one of many musicians on the Celebrating David Bowie tour that comes to Chicago's Vic Theater February 23rd. Earl's my guest on this portion of the program. Earl, are you guys doing any kind of recording, DVD recordings or audio recordings of this landmark tour that you're doing?
You know, I'm not really sure about that yet. I think it's a good idea, but, you know, there hasn't been any talk about it.
You were there on the road, as you mentioned, 1974, for the making of the David Live concert album, which basically, for those of us that love David's music, he was in mid-transition between the Ziggy Aladdin Sane era and the Young Americans Blue-Eyed Soul era. He seemed musically confused, but yet it was a brilliant live recording. Being there, what was it like for him? What was he like during that transition?
It was a bit of a natural progression because as we were doing later dates on the Diamond Dogs tour on the West Coast, David had actually written some stuff for Young Americans, and we were kind of sort of road testing some of them before they were even recorded.
Okay.
So he, that's the only album that I could think of that I've been involved with where he actually had like a plan and a vision to do like a, you know, a Blue-Eyed Soul album. Because, you know, like Station, we had no idea till we got there. Mm-hmm. Reality, no idea. Heathen, I had no idea, you know what I mean? It wasn't until we got there that we knew what kind of record we was making. But when he did Young Americans, he had it in his head to do that kind of record. Springing in people like Luther Vandross and Robin Clark and Ava and all those people, you know. And Luther was an amazing asset to that.
Just behind the bridge, he lays her down, he frowns. Gee, my life's a funny thing, am I still too young? He kissed her then and there, she took his ring, took his babies. It took him minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows he'd have taken anything.
All night,
she wants a young American. Through the picture window, she finds a slinky vagabond. Because as he passes, a void in my stain. Heaven forbid she take anything but the freak and his title for nothing. This is a step and cuts his hand, showing nothing. It swoops like a song. She cries, where are all Papa's heroes gone?
All night,
she wants a young American. A young American, all the way from Washington. Her breadwinner begs off the bathroom floor. We live for just these 20 years. Do we have to die for the 50 more? Have you been?
simple sets so loud. Leather, leather everywhere. And mother misled from the ghetto. Well, 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 would you carry your pizza? In case, just in case of depression. Sit on your hands on the bus of survivors. Blushing at all the Afro sheeters. Ain't that close to love? Well, ain't that close to love? Well, it ain't that far before. Heart's been broken just like you have.
All night.
All night. What the young American.
Young American.
Young American.
You want the young American.
All night.
All right.
You want the young American. You ain't a purple. You ain't a horse. A pimp's got a carry and a lady got a Chrysler. Red's got the stack. White's got a soul train. Mama's got. Your hands, hey.
I heard the news today, oh boy.
I got a sweet and you got the fear. Hither a man who can say no more. Hither a woman I can suck on the jaw. Hither a child I can hope with that judging. Hither a pen that will write before they die. Ain't you proud that you struck our faces? Ain't there one damn song that can make me break down and cry?
Americans, one of the great albums in David Bowie's career, and according to my guest, that's one that he actually thought ahead on and planned out. David, it seems, was very spontaneous. Well, my guest is Earl Slick, who played on that record and many other records, and not only played in the studio, but toured with David. In fact, he's touring right now in the Celebrating David Bowie World Tour, which comes to Chicago's Vic Theater February 23rd, one of many musicians who played with or were influenced by the Thin White Duke, as he came to be known. Earl.
Now, you were there for all the different eras, like we said, Diamond Dogs, Young American Station, Reality, up to Heathen.
We did Reality, we did Heathen, then we did The Next Day. So those were the last three albums that I did with David.
I couldn't quite get my head around Heathen. That album did not connect with me for some reason.
You know what? You need to listen to that more, because even recording some of it or listening to some of it, I wasn't quite hearing it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got it. But that has been David's MO during certain periods. Like, Let's Dance is a no-brainer, okay? That's the kind of record produced by Nile Rodgers, you know, very accessible. I mean, even people couldn't wrap their heads around. I mean, Diamond Dogs album's got some very weird stuff on it.
Right.
That resonated actually right away with me. But there are some records, this is very typical of David's career, was you'll notice that sometimes out of the box reception, reviews, and sales sometimes would be lukewarm, and then all of a sudden 6 months later, kaboom, explosion, because it would just take people sometimes a little bit of time to get what they were hearing.
Right.
Well, let's give that record a fair shake right now. This is the title track of Heathen with David Bowie. I'll be back a final time with David's longtime guitar player, Earl Slick, after this on Midwest Beat.
sky made of glass. Made for a real world. All things must pass. For something looking for someone is there no reason have I stayed too long.
That's the title track of Heathen by David Bowie, one of the albums in his catalog that I didn't warm up to right away, but I'm going to give it another fair shot because that's what my guest Earl Slick suggested, and after all, he played guitar on it, so I'm going to do it. Well, we're running tight on time, so let's get things wrapped up. Earl.
How did you first meet up with David? Because you clearly had a long-time relationship, a good friendship, and your chemistry was right. How did the two of you first get together?
I was actually working a lot with a very dear friend who had left us in 2004, I think, Michael Kamen, who, if you know anything about movie composers, he composed a lot of movie scores. When I was about 18 or 19 years old, I met him through a friend, and he took me under his wing. He helped me produce my bands. And then I played in his band with David Sanborn and some of Paul Butterfield's band when I was like 19 or 20.
Oh, okay.
And then he wrote some music for the Joffrey Ballet in New York that David went to, and David wanted to meet who wrote the music, which was Michael. And during the course of the conversation, it came up that he needed a guitar player because this was right after Mick Ronson had left, and Michael suggested me. Right off the bat. And so I got the phone call and I did my audition, and it was weird because I'm a dyed-in-the-wool blues, you know, I'm a Mississippi Fred McDowell, Lightning Hopkins, Buddy Guy, you name it. That's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did the audition, I thought, wow, it's kind of funny because he, you know, Mick Ronson, his style's a bit different, but it's what he wanted. And we hit it off though the first time we met, and you know, I think he wanted something a little bit different, so he just kind of let me loose.
What was he like as a band leader?
It was funny because he really wasn't.
Oh.
He was part of the band. Now, obviously, you know, his name's on the marquee, which makes him the band leader. But it was never one of these, you felt like you had a boss that you had to tiptoe around. He enjoyed being part of the band and one of the guys, which made it really easy to make records and to play live.
So he gave you guys a lot of creative freedom?
Absolutely, yeah. David's whole philosophy, and I don't even know if it was a philosophy, it's the way he worked, and the same thing when I worked with John Lennon as well, was that the people that were picked during different times and periods and records were picked because of what they naturally did, instead of taking a guy and then putting a chart in front of him and having him sound like that. David would take the best of your qualities that he liked, then he would, you know, push you to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made it great, because he was picking people for records and bands that already had what he wanted, as opposed to trying to turn an apple into an orange. Would a lot of artists make that mistake?
Right. Anything we haven't talked about, Earl, you'd like to?
I think we've got it pretty well covered, and I kind of need to get back inside.
All right.
And get back to work, because we really have only today and tomorrow to finish rehearsing. And
all right.
Nothing like having a gun to your head and getting 3 days in rehearsal for a tour. Thank God we've all done this before. That's all I got to say.
Right. Well, thank you for your time, and we'll see you when you get here in Chicago.
All right. You got it, Mr. Tom from Indiana.
All right. Take care.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Celebrating David Bowie comes to Chicago's Vic Theater on February 23rd, featuring, among many other musicians, my guest today, Earl Slick. I'm Tom Lounge. Just thank you so much for tuning in and supporting not only this show, but public radio. This Tuesday night, I'll have the Bodines on as a guest, so be sure to tune in. Let's leave you now with one of David's final hit singles. This is one that is a personal favorite of mine from the Reality album, also featuring Earl Slick on guitar. It's New Killer Star. Sending it out to Lisa by suggestion. Adios, everybody. Stay safe. Stay warm.
said I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. Don't ever say I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. I've never said I'm better, I'm better, I'm better, I'm better than you. On the corners of the buildings, who did we remember these? The sidewalks and trees.
Celebrating David Bowie comes to Chicago's Vic Theater on February 23rd, featuring, among many other musicians, my guest today, Earl Slick. I'm Tom Lounges. Thank you so much for tuning in and supporting not only this show, but public radio.